Today I want to talk to those of you who might feel unappreciated, undervalued, or occasionally even unseen. I want to talk to those of you who give more and serve more and help more than anyone would likely know. And you're good-hearted about it. You do it because you love people and you want to bless them. But let's be honest, even when you give with the purest motives, even when you serve with the purest heart, every now and then, you still want someone else to notice. You want them to acknowledge. You want someone just to say thank you. And so if you've ever felt discouraged and think others take you for granted, Jesus has actually been there. The title of our message series, for the most part, whatever you've been through, whatever you're facing right now, Jesus has been there. And today, we want to talk about when you feel unappreciated. I'm going to look in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 17, and we're going to see a time when people didn't really value what Jesus did. Luke 17, Scripture says this, as Jesus entered a village, 10 men. How many? Let's make sure we're keeping count here. As Jesus entered a village, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, have mercy on us. They're crying out from a distance and asking him to help. Maybe you can relate. You might be the person that's single and everybody says, can you babysit for us? Or can you dog sit for us? Or can you plant sit for us? I said plant sit. It's actually a thing. How do you sit a plant? I don't know. But some people like their plants sat. So, you walk into your house and a whole house full of people say, I'm hungry. Where's dinner? Or it's 9:30 at night and you're ready to relax and someone cries out, I got homework. Can you help? And you're thinking, what about me? Nobody even asks about my day. Speaking to the moms, because I know that you don't do much to serve other people. What do you do as a mom? You're just the provider and the cook and the housekeeper and the Uber driver and the counselor and the doctor. You want me to go on? And the life coach and the personal shopper and the referee and the defense attorney and the judge and sometimes even the executioner, if that's what's needed for the glory of God, right? And every now and then, you want somebody to say, hey, I noticed. Thank you for picking me up for the 17th time. And the 10 lepers are crying out, hey, Jesus, over here. We got leprosy. Have mercy on us. And Scripture says this, Jesus looked at them and said, I'll help you out. Go show yourselves to the priest. And I love this part. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. If I had more time to preach another sermon, I would talk about as they went. Sometimes it's as you're doing what he told you to do that he actually shows up and does what you want him to do. As they went, Scripture says, they were cleansed, supernaturally healed of their leprosy. How many of them? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God," he said. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking Jesus for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan, and Jesus, the Son of God, who needed zero affirmation from people because he had the approval of God, said, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Anybody see the other 9? In the Greek, what that literally is saying is, "I spent hours on this meal, and you left your plate and didn't say thank you." That's what it means in the Greek, right? That's when you're driving in traffic, and it's intense traffic, and by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit moves upon you, and you let somebody else in, and they don't even give you the head tilt down and the hand go up. It's in the Bible, Leviticus something. It's got to be in there. I promise you it's in there. We know Jesus did not heal these lepers for selfish reasons. But even Jesus thought at least they could have come back and said thank you. I want to show you 3 things to remember when you feel unseen. The first thing is this. Number one, I want you to remember that how they make you feel is not who you are. Second thing I hope you remember is this, that those you serve the most often appreciate you the least. And the third thing is this, what's unseen by people is often what's most significant to God. So let's break them down one by one. Thought number one, how they make you feel is not who you are. Now, intellectually we know this, but practically we often tie their reaction to our identity. If they show gratitude, we feel satisfaction. If they ignore us, we feel less than. So, I mean, how they make you feel is not who you are. How they make you feel is not who you are. I'll give you 2 examples from Scripture. And to me, this is fascinating. 2 different examples in the same chapter of how people made Jesus feel. Watch this. You're not going to believe it. Okay. Luke chapter 4, 2 different feelings in the exact same chapter. Luke 4 verse 15 says this. Jesus was teaching in their synagogues, and what happened? What did they do? Everybody praised him. "You're amazing, Jesus. Wow, it's a good message. Say that again. I'm writing that down. Powerful. They're doing the cow. That's amazing, Jesus. You're incredible." Wow, they praised him. Jesus. I don't know what comes next, but they were praising him. And then in the same chapter, the very next verse says this. Next verse says this. Same chapter. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard him say, "Hey, you want me to do these miracles everywhere? But a prophet in his own town is without honor." And he said that, and they were furious with him, and they got up and drove him out of town, and they took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. You're amazing. You suck. Verse 15, Jesus is incredible. Verse 28, he said one thing and he's canceled. We love you. We hate you. You're incredible. We're leaving the church. How they make you feel is not who you are. And I want to tell somebody here this very important principle, that someone's inability to see your worth does not decrease your value. Why? Because your value isn't based on what others think of you, but by who God says you are. And if you are in Christ, who does God say you are? Scripture says that our God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, that you've been chosen by Him and set apart and called by God and forgiven by the grace of Jesus Christ. Your sins remembered no more and cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God and adopted into His family, where you stand as a joint heir seated in the heavenly places, born into the kingdom of God. You're the light of the world. I mean, in a dark world, you're the light that shines. When you walk into a room, Hulk walks into a room. Faith walks into a room. You're an overcomer, Scripture says, by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of the testimony of what Jesus did for you. You're not who others say you are. How they react does not determine your worth. You are who God says you are. And He says you're chosen. You're righteous in Christ. You are an overcomer. Internalize it. How they make you feel is not a reflection of who you really are. Second thought. And this is so principal, so important. Those you serve the most often appreciate you the least. This is actually going to minister to somebody. It's just a principle. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It doesn't mean they don't notice. It just means they take you for granted. And I'm going to show you the perfect example of this in the Old Testament. When the Pharaoh, you may remember, got angry at his cupbearer and threw his cupbearer in prison. And while the cupbearer was in prison, Joseph, who was a man of God, who was wrongly imprisoned, interpreted a dream of the cupbearer. And 3 days later, he said, the Pharaoh was going to restore you to your role. And Joseph said this to him. He said, hey, cupbearer, please remember me and do me a solid. Do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so that he might let me out of this place, for I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews. And now here I am in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it. Hey, help me out. And what does the cupbearer do? Well, Scripture says this. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Joseph was the instrument that God used to get his friend, the cupbearer, released from prison. And the cupbearer never gave him another thought. Because those you serve the most often appreciate you the least. And when you do something over and over and over again for people, they just start to take it for granted. You see, what's normal isn't celebrated. It's expected. And many of you right now, you're just doing what's normal. What's normal isn't celebrated, it's expected. In other words, listen to me. Some of you right now are disappointed because they don't appreciate you. How do you know when you're good at something? Think about this. How do you know when you're good at something? You're actually, whatever it is, you're good at it when you stop getting compliments. Think about it. Like if you just always show up on time for work, after 7 years of showing up on time, ain't nobody going to say, wow, you're here on time. They don't do it because you're good at it. You're good at showing up on time. If you always make amazing meals, they're always amazing. No one's going to say, dang, that was amazing. Because the last 14 were amazing, and the next 23 are going to be amazing too. That's actually, in some weird, sick, dysfunctional way, kind of a compliment. If your house always looks good, and your yard always looks good, nobody's going to drive by and go, whoa, can you believe it? You picked up the underwear today. They don't do it. In some weird way, it's almost a compliment when they take you for granted because you're just trustworthy. You're just faithful. You're just dependable. Just because they don't notice now doesn't mean they won't notice later. Let's talk about it. When you feel unappreciated, how they make you feel is not who you are. Those you serve the most actually often appreciate you the least. And the most important principle is this. What's unseen by people is often what's most significant to God. What's unseen by people is often what's most significant to God. Unfortunately, the world's culture is very opposite because people celebrate what they see, but they don't celebrate what they don't see. They'll tell you congratulations on graduating because they saw you walk across the stage. They'll say congratulations on your promotion because they saw it on your social media feed. They'll say congratulations on your house because they heard you bought a new house. But they won't congratulate you on strengthening your character, which is far more important than buying a house. They won't congratulate you when you overcome an addiction because they may not see that happening. They won't congratulate you, oh, praise God, the way you forgave that person was out of the park, because we think what's seen is what's significant. But I want to remind you, with God, what's invisible is often what's most valuable. It's not what everybody else sees that God values. In fact, I love it when Jesus was very, very direct in his teaching in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 6, he said this. He said, be very careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. In other words, when you're loving, when you're we're serving, when we're blessing people, it's really not for their recognition. It's really for God's glory. We're not doing what we're doing to be seen by others. He says, if you're doing it to be seen by others, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Scripture goes on to say this, so when you give to the needy, don't announce it on your Instagram story. Did I read that wrong? So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Then watch this. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. What does the Father do? The Father sees. The Father sees what you do. The Father sees the motives of your heart. The Father sees the sacrifices of your spirit. The Father knows the love that you have when you do things that no one else even notices. The Father sees. Father sees what you do in secret. In fact, he's called El Roi, and that means the God who sees. He's the Father who sees when you get up early and serve behind the scenes, getting everything ready for other people. They just think it's a normal part of what you do. The Father sees when you do the right thing, when it would be so much easier to cut corners and compromise your integrity. The Father sees when you go behind and clean up after them again and again and again and again. And every now and then you just want to say, I'd love to see how you do without me for just 1 week. But you continue to serve. And you continue to serve. The Father sees when you serve every week in the church. The Father sees when you're working a second job because you want to keep your kids in their activities. The Father sees when you are on your face crying out and begging Him for provision, asking Him to heal, asking Him to restore a broken relationship. The Father sees when you forgive what others would say feels almost unforgivable. The Father knows when you faithfully tithe, when you're worried that you may not have enough. And then you give to someone in need when you know you don't have enough. The Father sees. The Father sees. If your spouse doesn't notice, if your boss doesn't seem to care, if your grandkids take you for granted, if no one else seems to notice, God sees. The Father sees. And Scripture says this, I pray you will internalize this, that our Heavenly Father, He is not unjust. Somebody needs to hear this and internalize this in your soul. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you've helped His people. He will not forget. He sees it. He remembers it. He rewards the work and the love that you've shown Him as you've helped his people and continue to help him. And we want each of you to know the same diligence to the very end. Why? So that what you hope for may be fully realized. What you hope for may be given to you. That what you seek first in the kingdom of God, that he'll add everything else under you as you put him first in all that you do. The Father sees your sacrifices. Jesus healed 10 and only one came back. So what did Jesus do after that? If you read on, he says, I'll show them. I heal nobody else. Let them take me for granted. No, if you read on, what he said was, he said, let me tell you, by the kingdom of God, he said, I'm going to have to suffer and die. And one day, when you least expect it, I'm coming back for you. In other words, he didn't let the response from people deter him from his mission from God, because he wasn't doing what he was doing for the applause of people. He was doing it as a reflection of his love for God. And so that's what we do. On a side note, it's total side note. I just want to say it. Only one came back. Hey, why don't you be that one? Anytime you can. Why don't you be that one? If you think something good, say it. Anytime you see it, bless them. When someone serves you, we as the people of God want to be the most faithful to show gratitude, because every good thing comes from the Father. Why don't you be the one? That's a side point. Back to the main point is, what we do is not for the response from people, but it's born out of an overflow of a response for what our Father did for us. And God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you've shown him. You're showing him love when you help and serve people and continue to help them. And he wants each of you to know that he sees. And what you hope for will be fully realized, whether on earth or in heaven, when he rewards every good deed of those who've been faithful to him. The Father sees. Let us pray. So God, today we pray that out of the purest heart, that you would give us joy to serve others. God, we want to acknowledge that right now. We want to acknowledge the reality of what we feel. Sometimes we don't feel valued, and we're confessing that to you, God. And now we're reminding ourselves that what they say, what they do, doesn't reflect who we are. God, show us who we are. And God, in a weird way, if they don't say thank you, maybe it's because it's a weird compliment that we're being faithful, and we see that and we find joy in faithfulness. And God, help us with the purest of heart to know that what is unseen and unnoticed is often what's most significant to you. God, may your children find joy in knowing that you see and you reward what's done for your glory. God, purify our hearts. Help us to step into the joy of serving you and serving people no matter how they respond. God, it's our joy to give. It's our joy to serve. In Christ we pray. Amen.